Welcome to the Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast, where it's all about slashing your debt, slashing your taxes, and creating a liberated lifestyle. And now, your host, who met his wife while training for the 400 meters in Seattle and is eating gluten-free while lusting after bread, Dave Denniston.
Hello, my friends. This is Dave Denniston. Welcome back to the Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast, a podcast dedicated to helping doctors like you slash your debt, slash your taxes, and live a liberated lifestyle. Well, once again, we are doing another throwback episode from season one. My name is Dave Denniston, and welcome to my latest episode of the Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast. Well, as many of you know who read the Freedom Formula for Physicians, I have a passion for reducing, eliminating, and destroying debt. I hate it. And as these banks have been thrown into the pits of the depths of the debt crisis 7 years ago, we've seen a tremendous change in the way student loans have operated. And now, what's really, really sweet, with DRB, even residents and fellows could refinance their debts. And so today, I have the pleasure of hosting Alex Maislack on the podcast. He joined DRB Student Loans in March 2015 as the Manager of Business Development. And he spent the prior 3 years working for GL Advisor, which is a student loan advisory service for graduate professionals. And while there, his work ranged from business development to project management, along with nearly everything in between. So he's come up through the ranks. He ended his time there serving as VP of the Northeast and Midwest U.S. He has a great passion and knowledge of student loans, which, considering what he's doing now, it's a good thing. So he's a thought leader serving the educational debt community. And prior to that, he was an intern with Morgan Stanley Smith Barney in wealth management. He holds a degree in econ and finance from Bentley University, where he captained the varsity golf team. Well, welcome, Alex.
Thank you. Thank you, Dave. Very, very nice to be here.
Hey, appreciate it, man. Well, tell us a little bit about your journey. As I mentioned in the intro, you're pretty new to DRB, but you've been in this space of physician loans for a while. So tell us about your journey and how you've gotten to where you are today.
Yeah, definitely. So I started at DRB, as you said, it's been almost 3 months now. And prior to that, I was with a company called GL Advisor, which sort of specialized in helping medical professionals and some other graduate professionals manage this mounting student debt burden. So I sort of started out doing one-on-one comprehensive loan consultations with recent graduates, and then, as you said, transitioned into that vice president role where I was giving loan presentations, student loan best practices presentations, primarily at medical schools and hospitals around the country. So, you know, during that time, as you alluded to, there wasn't a ton of options for borrowers in the private marketplace. So I gained a really good familiarity with some of these federal loan repayment programs and specifically how medical professionals can pursue loan forgiveness, and that sort of served as my foundation to the student loan marketplace. And then things sort of started to transition. As you said, in the last few years, credit markets have recovered, which led me here to DRB and the new exciting opportunities of qualified borrowers being able to refinance their loans to lower rates.
So it sounds like you've been doing a lot of speaking events in your career. So this is a space that you know quite well.
It is. It's a space that I know, though I admittedly have never been on a podcast like this. I've definitely hosted hundreds of presentations for, you know, ranging from 20 to a couple hundred people in the audience. So fairly familiar doing this and also, you know, specifically in the medical student loan space.
Well, the podcast is the new blog. Welcome to the future.
Yeah, no, I love it. It's about time I get out of the norms of the live presentations and venture onto the web. I'm glad you had me.
Well, tell us more about DRB. So who the heck are they? I'm sure most people aren't familiar with the name. And what are they all about?
Yeah. So DRP is an FDIC-insured lender who specializes in providing the top quality, really the best borrowers in the marketplace, with the lowest rates in the marketplace. You know, one would think that's a no-brainer. Go ahead.
Are they a bank?
We are a bank, yes. Mm-hmm. So Darien Rowayton Bank is the lending institution, and then we've branded the student loan arm as DRB Student Loan.
So you guys take on deposits with CDs and financial products, and then you have the lending side. So you have your assets and your liabilities. These student loans are your assets.
Correct. So there's three branch locations in Connecticut, you know, which handle all sorts of kind of retail consumer and small business banking services. And then the DRB student loan arm is a national lending division. We have borrowers in all 50 states from all different degree types. You know, I think very strong focus on the medical space specifically, but we do lend to sort of borrowers from all walks of life within the United States.
So tell us more about kind of the history in the physician space. Is it something that you guys have been doing for a long time, or something that you've been an entrant into this space? Tell us about that.
Well, so we always really valued physician borrowers, you know, and I think probably most lenders in the industry do. Being a sort of a small regional bank, it's made us nimble and progressive enough to be able to roll out products and programs that are specific to, you know, one small subsector of the marketplace, like physicians. You know, I think they have some of the best credit profiles of any borrower in the marketplace, very stable career paths, you know, lucrative earnings. You know, simply put, physicians always repay their debt. So we've put a lot of value in attracting them as clients.
So has it been like a growing niche, you know, like were you guys not doing much before? So if you maybe give a ballpark, you know, what dollar amount of refinancing physician loans have you guys been doing, let's say 10 years ago or 5 years ago compared to now?
Well, so the bank itself, the whole bank was founded in 2006, and the student loan lending operation began in earnest in June of 2013. So it's still relatively new.
Okay.
Prior to that, you know, to give you a bit of context on the marketplace, most private lenders weren't really willing to refinance student loans, you know, specifically because money wasn't cheap at that point, or excuse me, money was cheap, but people just didn't fully expect borrowers to repay. So, you know, we looked at physicians specifically, you know, like I said, as the most creditworthy candidates. To this point, we've refinanced $650 million in loans. We're on pace to hit $1.2 billion by the end of 2015.
Wow.
More than half of our borrowers come from the medical sector, so between physicians, nurses, PAs, dentists, more than half of our borrowers kind of fall into that bucket, and of those, the vast majority are physicians. So we've been very physician-focused, and we expect sort of continued exponential growth from the MDDO marketplace, you know, in large part due to this new resident and fellow offering we just rolled out.
Well, there you go. Good transition. It's ironically, you and I have been corresponding about doing this podcast for, gosh, what, 2 months?
Yeah,
and,
right.
And I saw an article about a month ago on the White Coat Investor website where all of a sudden you guys rolled out this new program. And so what a great topic to discuss. And I think it's just awesome to be able to have that opportunity. Tell us more about that. You know, tell us about the ins and outs of this program, because I'm sure we don't want residents and fellows to be paying $1,000 a month while they're in residency.
Exactly. So this is honestly probably the most unique thing we do relative to other lenders in the marketplace. So to my knowledge, we're the only lender who looks at a physician's projected future income in the underwriting process, so thus making a resident and fellow even eligible to qualify for a refinanced loan. Now, you're right. On a standard repayment term, you know, with the average medical school debt being $220,000, A standard monthly payment, if you assume, let's say, a 10-year term, is like $2,500. Not really a viable option for a resident or fellow to afford. So in light of that, we ask that residents and fellows who use this new program to refi during training, that they pay only $100 a month all through training, plus their first 6 months as an attending physician. So basically, those $100 payments run for all of training plus 6 months. There's no limit. And then at which point the borrower would begin on whatever standard repayment term they'd selected when they initially applied for the refi.
So I can understand, so the $100 a month, that doesn't matter whether you have $300,000 in debt or $150,000 in debt. It's $100 a month regardless. It's not like IBR with a fluctuating payment.
Exactly. It's $100 a month regardless. If you were to refi $70,000, if you were to refi $500,000, your monthly payment is $100. At the end of the $100 monthly payment cycle, then we calculate your monthly payment based on what you owe and what the term you want to put the loan on.
And I assume in the meantime, interest is accruing on the balance. So someone with $300,000.
It is accruing, but it's not capitalized. So that's one of the ways we've sort of tried to mirror some of the federal repayment options, like pay-as-you-earn and like IBR, where the interest doesn't capitalize while you're making those low payments. We've set it up in the same manner, where during the time of the $100 monthly payments, you're still accruing interest, but that interest doesn't get added back to the balance continuously. It only does so once when the borrower enters their standard repayment.
So it's not compounding, which is good news. It's not interest piling on top of interest.
Exactly. You're never earning, or you're never accruing interest on interest during training.
That's huge, because you think about $300,000 of debt, right? I mean, if someone was paying 6% on that, that would be $18,000 a year, which then you'd pay another 6% on that $18,000 a year if it was accruing. So that's
exactly
great news. Okay.
It is. And, I think this program is really going to change how young physicians in training deal with their debt. I mean, like I said, we've set it up so that it's as similar to those federal options as possible. Loans fully dischargeable in the event of death or permanent disability, just like the government. That's the case with all of our loans. We offer up to 12 months of economic hardship forbearance. So a lot of people point to that typically as a reason to stay with the government. The government lets you forbear. We do too. So that's a benefit. And, same goes for the lack of interest capitalization during training. So, I really think this is a perfect alternative for anybody who's sitting out there saying, all I've been told from my financial aid counselor is that I've got to use pay-as-you-earn and, I should pursue loan forgiveness, but I don't think that's for me. This is now the next best alternative. You can still save quite a bit of money during training, and also save quite a bit on the long-term interest accrual.
Very cool. Well, walk us through the process then. If someone walks into the bank or goes online or however they do it, how are these loans underwritten? So, what's going to determine the interest rate? Is that going to be at the front door when they're starting to pay the $100 a month, or is that going to be 2-3 years later, perhaps, when they're in practice?
So the application process works like this. It's all online. Basically, the borrower would come, they would answer 20 minutes worth of financial questions. We would say, all right, we'll give you an immediate answer on your credit. Assuming you have good credit, you're pre-approved. Now we need a number of documents from you to verify, everything that you've told us. So once we have that, it probably takes 5 to 7 business days, and then we'll come back with some rate offers. We have terms ranging from 5, 10, 15, 20 years. So at each one of those different terms, we're going to offer the borrower both a fixed and variable rate option. So at that point, they pick whichever one they thought was a good match, and we pay off their existing lender. Their first payment would be due to us 30 days thereafter. In terms of what factors we're using to determine the interest rate, it's really three main factors. It's how much do you owe, how much do you earn, and what's your credit score? And again, for young physicians, we're looking at their projected future income for their specialty versus, sort of the modest starting salary as a resident. Physicians are eligible to apply as soon as they've matched to a residency. So theoretically could still be in the last month or so of school and be eligible. The other big box to check is that you need to be a U.S. citizen or permanent resident. In terms of, I think you mentioned, what could possibly disqualify you from the refinancing, we don't have too many hard and fast rules, to be candid. Typically looking for a 680 credit score is a good rule of thumb. Big red flags would be like if you defaulted on a piece of debt in the past. That's really the only thing that's an automatic no-go. The whole process, assuming that the borrower gets us all the documents in a timely manner, shouldn't take any more than, 2 weeks or so.
So it's pretty quick, and so you do take things like credit score at the time that they're underwriting the loan. So could let's say some resident had some credit card debt that was bad, and because they have had a lot of perhaps payments through IBR or whatever, and they refinance through you guys, and their credit score gets a little better. They have some longer credit history. Could they refinance the loans maybe at a lower rate later?
Always could. We're always open to our clients refinancing with us again if rates were to go down. It's just like having a home mortgage. If you take out a mortgage and rates go down in 5 years, you can absolutely go back to your lender and say, I want to refi again. It's the same with us, probably even better. We don't have any application, any origination fees. There's no prepayment penalties. This is literally 100% free to the borrower.
So there's no cost to refinancing the loan.
There is no cost whatsoever. And I guess to maybe add a little bit of context to what, shaving 2.5% off of your rate means, if you assumed that a 2015 grad owed 220 upon graduation, which is the average, and they used pay-as-you-earn during training for 4 years and then got on a 10-year standard plan with the government, and their rate was 7% with the government. That versus our new resident and fellow program, we assumed that they got not even the lowest, say a 4.75% rate with us. Mm-hmm. The total out-of-pocket cost is $50,000 less to repay the loan using our program versus using the federal repayment option. So I know, it's tough to envision what does a couple of percentage points really make a difference. It's a major difference when you're talking about hundreds and thousands on loans.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what about, because you being the specialist that you have been in the field, what about PSLF? Because you're no longer on government subsidies at that point. Are you still? So can they still get their loans forgiven through PSLF, or is that now taken off the table?
That's now taken off the table, and really that's the biggest kind of consideration, biggest downside of doing the refi. So once you've moved the loans from the federal government over into our hands, they're no longer eligible to be forgiven through public service loan forgiveness. Honestly, when I started working here, I had expected maybe a third, a quarter of the kind of newly minted resident marketplace to be interested in, kind of giving up on public service and just saying, I want to refi right off the bat. Honestly, it's been more like half to two-thirds have been interested in at least seeing what their rate could be on the refi. I think that a lot of those proposed changes to public service, possibly limiting it to 57 grand, has given people pause about, putting all their eggs into that basket in hopes of having the government forgive, hundreds of thousands down the line.
Well, from my understanding, no legislation has passed yet about that, correct? It's just been a proposal on the table.
Correct. It has just been a proposal. The only piece that's in the executive order is the expansion of pay-as-you-earn to all borrowers. So, yes, it is passed. I mean, in my personal opinion, it has not passed. In my opinion, it will. It was brought to the House by the Democrats. I don't personally envision the Republicans voting down a bill that moves to limit public spending. You know, I think the big question for borrowers out there right now is, if they do pass this and if things do change, is it going to affect them, or is it only going to affect the next crop of doctors? You know, which is to say, are they going to grandfather people through, or are they not? Are they going to pull the rug out? That remains to be seen.
My experience has usually been with these things that I look at retirement plans, and, for example, mm-hmm. there used to be a KEO plan, and no one knew could get into a KEO plan, but it was grandfathered in. The government usually tends to grandfather people in. But they certainly are entitled to change their minds with some of the deficit spending and Medicare and everything else. But, gosh, I sure hope they don't. Well, I guess we find out 2017, right? Those are our first.
That's right. That's right.
Another year
and a half. So another year and a half till we see the first people to have their loans forgiven. I would agree with you. I think the past precedent has been that people get grandfathered through. You know, the one scenario that I keep going back to in my mind is, you know, what happens when the first physician walks in there and says, you know, I've fulfilled all of your requirements on this. I still owe $200,000-$300,000. Please forgive my loans. Oh, by the way, I'm currently making $250,000. I think that might be a tough pill to swallow for some taxpayers. But like you said, it remains to be seen, and just something that all borrowers really need to keep a close eye on.
Well, at the end of the day, I think that these physicians with having given up the first 10 years of their career, in many cases,
yep,
they're trying
true.
To catch up. It's
yeah.
the right thing to do. Anyhow, I'll get off the soapbox.
Agreed.
So now the good news I get for many physicians in this space is that there's many more companies like DRB that are coming into this marketplace, that are going after it. SoFi, Common Bond come
definitely.
To the top of my mind. So could you maybe compare and contrast DRB versus some of these other companies, and maybe are there any new entrants that do something different people should be aware of?
Yeah. So I think on first glance, the student loan refinancing operations, you named a couple, SoFi, Common Bond, CU student loans. First glance, they all look basically the same. Our rate offerings, almost all of us have 5, 10, 15, 20-year term options, and everybody displays very, very similar rates. If you look closer, DRB, I think one of our bigger competitive advantages is that our rate spreads at each term are typically about half of what the other lenders offer. So, for example, like on a 10-year fixed term, other lenders will have it from 4.5% to 6.5%. Ours is 4.5% to 5.5%. So if you get approved, you're going to get a low rate. and all of these lenders are securitizing the loans. They're selling them. So we have the opportunity to see what rates other lenders are actually giving. So we've found that on average, our rates are 0.79% lower than some of those competitors. And I think that's a product of the fact that we're a bank. We have a lower cost of capital. Most of the competitors, at least the ones you mentioned, they're funded by venture capital dollars. So their investors are demanding a higher rate of return than us being a bank. In light of that, we're able to offer borrowers typically the lowest rates in the marketplace.
And do you think is that because of a bell curve where you guys are a little more generous, perhaps towards the lower end? Or what would you attribute because if you look at the headline number, right, it looks the same. But
yeah.
is it through the application process that it's different?
in terms of like how we're able to give the lower rates, is that? I'm trying to make sure I'm understanding. Yeah, so I think it all comes down to the fact that, you know, us being a lending institution, all we have to do is attract further deposits onto our balance sheet. You know, when we take in the deposits, we're paying a very low interest rate to, you know, the person that loaned them to us. They're checking their savings account, whereas, you know, for a SoFi or a common bond to drum up additional dollars to lend, they've got to go to a venture capital enterprise and say, hey, you know, we need another couple extra $100 million. You know, that venture capital enterprise is going to ask for a greater rate of return than a savings account borrower. So because of that, we are able to pass on those savings to our borrowers.
Well, what I was getting to, I guess, to my point was, you know, if you look at the way, from what I understand, those lenders do, let's say the lowest rate on a variable is 1.9, right? But they may go all the way up to a 3.9. Yeah. And so they'll have kind of a bell distribution curve where, let's say, 10% get the 1.9, 10% get the 3.9, and the 80% of people fall at 2.9. And so, do you guys tend to have more people like at the 1.9, for example, and less at the 3.9?
Much more. So I can tell you that 70% of our approved borrowers get our lowest rates displayed. So it's
70%.
Really, the majority are getting the lowest rates that we offer.
Yeah, so it's not a bell curve by any means.
It's not for us. No, I couldn't tell you what it is. It may very well be for the other lenders, but for us, it's, you know, primarily if you're approved, you're getting the lowest rate.
Which makes it less of a tease and more of a reality when you see those headline numbers.
Very much so. Very much so. I think, you know, people come into it oftentimes, you know, if they are working with another lender and, you know, just with the expectation that, oh, I'm going to get the lowest rate displayed here. And, you know, that's, as you said, not necessarily the case.
Well, and the good news, it sounds like, is if someone has loans through SoFi and they want to see if they can shave off another percent, they could probably shop it out with you guys then.
Absolutely.
Double check and see that they're getting the best rate.
Definitely, and I always encourage people to shop around. You know, I think the other lenders are, you know, very captivated with trying to get borrowers in-house and keep them there and give them no inclination to look elsewhere. We always tell people, you know, see what else you can get, what else is out there. You know, as far as corporations and associations we partner with, we encourage them to partner with other lenders as well, because we have such confidence that we're basically always going to be able to offer the lowest rate to a qualified borrower.
Well, that sounds good to me. Well, tell us about the future for the company. I mean, this obviously is a huge push. I mean, talking 100% growth, right, from one year to another. I mean, do you guys want to keep on moving in this space, or do you want to expand the portfolio a little bit more? You know, what do you think the future holds for you?
I think some of both, you know, with a very strong market, you know, still on the student loan lending, specifically to physician space. We estimate that on a yearly basis, there's $13 billion worth of loans which come into repayment, which should be eligible for lower rates based on that borrower's credit profile. You know, of that $13 billion, like I said, we're due to hit $1.2 billion in total refi by the end of this year. You know, so it's truly an untapped marketplace. I mean, there's $1.2 trillion in total outstanding educational debt. So we really have plenty of room to grow, I think, on the student loan lending enterprise. You know, given that our clients are such quality borrowers, you know, there may be plans in the future to expand into other offerings, mortgages, credit card refinancing, auto loans. We do currently, to our retail customers in Connecticut, offer mortgages and offer personal loans. You know, and I think maybe once the student loan offering is fully built out and running seamlessly, some of those other items you know, could be placed into the mix as well on a national scope.
So perhaps physicians, they're not going to be able to tie in a high-interest credit card into this refinance, but maybe in the future they could do that through you folks too.
Definitely. Right now, I mean, they would be eligible to get a personal loan from us, which they could then in turn take and pay off a high rate credit card, but the credit card wouldn't be eligible to be rolled into the student loan refi itself.
Okay. Great, great. Well, just want to thank you, Alex, so much for being with us, and especially for being part of this process to save physicians money and this awesome thing of helping them get out of debt quicker with less interest. So that's sweet. So if people have more questions, how could they get in contact with you, or where could they find DRB Online to apply?
Yeah, so I'm happy to talk with physicians one-on-one if you had questions you wanted to discuss, if this was a suitable decision for you. Like I said, my background at GL was in doing those one-on-one consultations, so I can certainly run the numbers. My contact info is A, and then my last name, M-A-C-I-E-L-A-K, A Macielak, at drbank.com. And I can also be reached by cell at 518-788-0249. In terms of where to apply, the DRB website is just www.student.drbank.com.
Okay, great. Well, thanks again so much for joining us, Alex.
Thank you. Really appreciate it.
Well, if you are a physician, or maybe you're someone else servicing physicians and want to tell your story, grappling with tough issues like debt that we're talking about, want to get on the soapbox for a few minutes, I'd love to share it too in the next Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast. Make sure to subscribe to the next podcast on iTunes or on the podcast website, drfreedompodcast.com, or contact me at my website, daviddeniston.com/physicians. For the Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast, this is Dave Denison. Thank you so much for joining us, and make sure to subscribe and check in again soon. Have a good one.